Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitan.
Shalom, dear brothers and sisters. We praise the Lord for this wonderful study of the Gospel of Yohanan, the Gospel of John. And I would like you to turn with me in this ministry meeting to John chapter 18 as we continue with the study of this amazing Gospel, which presenting before us Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus the Messiah, as the Eternal Son of God, God the Son. As we have been mentioning once and again, this Gospel of Yohanan began with these interesting statements which say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 of John 1, saying, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, the eternal Word, the eternal God, in the person of the Son, entered into this world, took humanity with His divine nature, and all the purpose behind this is simply so He will provide redemption for sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as man, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, He had to become the sacrifice. A sinless man by the name of Yeshua from the city of Nazareth, who was born in Bethlehem, He took upon Himself the sin of this world when He died on that Roman cross some 2,000 years ago. Well, we have arrived to the 18th chapter of this Gospel of John, and in this 18th chapter, we have the events that occurred in a garden called the Garden of Gat Shmanim. The Garden of Gat Shmanim, two Hebrew word, Gat simply means an olive press, and Shmanim simply means oil, and it is where the press was used to press the olives in order to create oil. And in this garden, we see the public ministry of the Lord. We are coming to the end of His life here on earth, where the Lord Yeshua the Messiah will be crucified for the sin of this world. Well, in chapter 18, I would like to read the first 14 verses of John chapter 18. And so we read, when Jesus had spoken these words, He went forth with His disciples over the brook of Kidron, where was a garden, into the which He entered and His disciples. And Yehuda, Judas, also, which betrayed Him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with His disciples. Judas, when having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Yeshua, therefore knowing all things that should come upon Him, went forth and saith unto them, whom seek ye? They answered Him, Yeshua, Minatzeret, Jesus from Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betray him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backwards and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Yeshua Minatzeret, Jesus of Nazareth. Yeshua answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake, Of them which thou gavest me, I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Yeshua and bound him and led him away to Hanan, Annas, first, for he was father-in-law of Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And I'm stopping here, beloved brothers and sisters, and dear friends, with the first 14 verses of John chapter 18. Now just to bear in mind, the private ministry of our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach with the disciples, these early disciples, the early Talmidim in the upper room in the city of Jerusalem, came to an end. John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, these were the chapters which we have learned about Yeshua's time alone with the disciples in the upper room in the city of Jerusalem. There he celebrated with them the Pesach, the Passover. There he taught them the lessons concerning the service that he called them to be. By this men know that ye are my disciples when you have love one towards another. It was there in this upper room in the city of Jerusalem, these early Hebrew believers, which he taught them concerning the person of the Holy Spirit of God, which will come after his death, when the Spirit of God will come and form that new entity called the assembly, the ecclesia, the heavenly company, the church. It was there that he promised the coming of the comforter, the Parakletos, the Ruach HaKodesh, who will descend after Yeshua the Messiah finished the work of redemption. It was there, from the upper room, on the way towards the garden of Gethsemane, where our Lord Yeshua the Messiah did teach the disciples that in this world they will have tribulation, but he said to them, Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And it was there, and on the way to the garden of Gethsemane, that we learn of the 17th chapter, the prayer of our Lord, who spoke, who prayed to his Father, when he said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. It was in this prayer that we have finish in the study of the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, that we have learned how the Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, prayed for himself. He prayed for the early disciples, and he prayed for all of us, all true believers who will become children of God through the testimony of the preaching of the message of the gospel, which began in Jerusalem, later on Judea, later on Samaria, and ultimately unto the uttermost parts of this world. Amazing, amazing lesson that we have learned from the upper room private ministry of Yeshua with his disciple. Now it is ended. Now we have arrived to the Garden of Gethsemane, which comes from two Hebrew words, Gat Shmanim. Gat Shmanim, a garden where olive are pressed and oil is created. And it is no coincidence that we find Yeshua, the Messiah, in this Garden of Gethsemane, being pressed in anticipation for the death on the shameful cross where he will bear the sin of this world. We learn an amazing lesson here, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friend, that while men will do his worst, men by wicked hand, all of us, all the human race, who guilty for the death of the Messiah, because we by nature are sinners, we see that when man will do his worst, yet God will show his love and his grace towards the human race. The apostle Shaul Paul said in the letter that he wrote to the Romans, he says, when sin abounded, grace did much more abound. When God provided grace for men, men by wicked hand have taken the Lord of glory and now will take him to the shameful cross to die for the sin of this world. And so in Romans 5 and verse 20, the apostle emphasized it in a proper way that helped us to understand where sin abounded, men sinned, then God's grace did much more abound. Wonderful to see. Here we learn this in this 18th chapter and the 19th chapter when ultimately Yeshua the Messiah will die. So John 18 provides for us many symbols which convey some spiritual lesson for us all, my dear brothers and sisters. The first thing we learn here in John chapter 18 and verse 1 is this coming, arriving to the Garden of Gethsemane. We read in verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook of Kidron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. Notice that, coming down from the temple in the city of Jerusalem, this is Mount Moriah, going down the slopes of the mountain, going all the way down, crossing a brook that is called the Brook Kidron, and then beginning to climb a little higher into Mount Olives, and there on the lower portion of the Mountain of Olive, you have a garden. Of this garden, while we don't have its name here in John chapter 18, the other three Gospels provide for us the name of this garden. In fact, we read in Matthew chapter 26 the name of this garden. Very interesting, because I mentioned this once and again, that it represents the place where oil was pressed or created by the pressing of the olive. And so notice what we read in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. A little bit further, in Matthew 26, verse 38, he prayed, we read, he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And we read in verse 39 of Matthew chapter 26, and he went a little further, and he fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Imagine, here the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, coming into this garden, and while we don't receive the information in the Gospel of John concerning what went on there initially, the other three Gospels, Matthew 26, Mark 14, and Luke 22, give us much more details concerning the prayer of the Lord in the garden in anticipation for his death on the shameful, shameful cross for the sin of this world. And so we read that he fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. What was this cup that Yeshua is mentioning here in the Garden of Gethsemane? Well, this cup is the cup of God's righteous indignation against sin. And because God loved us so much and extended his abundant grace towards the human race, God's righteous indignation against sin would fall on the sinless man by the name of Yeshua, Jesus from Nazareth. This is where Yeshua is praying to the Father, and he said, Father, if it is possible, if it is possible, well, will it be possible for the cup of God's righteous indignation against sin to fall upon men? Is it be possible to be taken away from the Lord Jesus, the Messiah? No, it is not possible, because if he will not bear the sin of this world, as typified by the sacrifices which the people of Israel were offering every day, lambs and rams and goats and calves were killed, their blood was shed on the altar, demanded by God, sin must be judged, blood must be shed. All of these sacrifices pointed to the Mashiach that would come in the fullness of the time. And here, Yeshua, as man here, in the Garden of Gethsemane, saying, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But he knew very well that it is not possible, my dear brothers and sisters. That's why he continued in the very same sentence, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And you see, here we learn of the obedience of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, who obeyed the Lord even unto death. And that's how precious it is for us to learn from this of the love of the Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting love. We also read, beloved brothers and sisters, in Luke chapter 22, as Yeshua said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. We read in verse 43 and 44 of Luke chapter 22, that there appear an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And notice what we read, that he sweat, verse 44, of Luke 22, his sweat was as if it were great drop of blood falling down to the ground. Amazing. The sweat was as if it were great drop of blood. It was so thick, the anticipation and the thoughts, the pressure that came upon our Lord Jesus the Messiah, being in agony, anticipating himself bearing our sins in his body on the tree, caused him to sweat as if it were a great big drops of blood to the ground. And this is what we don't read in the Gospel of John, but we have the details in the Gospel of Matthew and Mark and Luke in the earlier portion of the New Testament and New Covenant here. And so while we continue on, we just see the many lessons. We see the obedience of the Lord. Just remind us of Yitzchak, of Isaac, as a picture of the Messiah Yeshua, who went together with his Abba, with his father Abraham, all the way to Mount Moriah, where he will ultimately will be offered by his father Abraham. And yet God said to Abraham, lay not thy hand upon this child. God did not want Isaac. God wanted Abraham. But Yitzhak, Isaac, became a symbol, a picture of the son of the father, who in obedience went all the way to the shameful cross. So we read in this verse 1 of the crossing of the brook of Kidron and entering into this garden. Now let's just one more thought that I would like to mention, that the human history began in a garden. In a garden of Eden, the garden of delight, of whom we read in Genesis 2. And all the way to the end of the second chapter and of the book of Genesis. And also it was there where sin came into the world, in a garden. And sin came in the garden of Eden, the garden of delight, when man had everything. And he disobeyed God's word. We read in Romans 5, by one man sin entered into this world. That man was the man Adam. So sin came into the world and it brought about the judgment of God when Adam and Eve and all humanity were cast out of this garden of delight. And until today, the consequence of this sin is upon us all. And if you and I were Adam and Eve, we would have done the same thing. But here we see, in the garden of Gatshmanim, not disobedience, but the obedience of the man who came from heaven, Yeshua the Messiah. He is the one of whom we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. But the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Verse 47 of 1 Corinthians 15, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And here the Lord from heaven, the man from heaven, who came to pay for the sin of this world, and in obedience, he went to the garden, not now the garden of Eden, but the garden of Gethsemane. While Adam had all in the garden of delight, Yeshua was under pressure in anticipation of dying for the sin of this world, in the garden of Gatshmanim. Amazing to see the contrast. How wonderful. One day, our Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, will take everyone that have trusted in him to the garden that is in heaven, where the tree of life will be there. And we will enjoy eternal relationship with him, never to suffer anymore, never to be away from God, never anymore to have sin in the life of all those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. Wonderful to see that, my dear friend, Revelation 21 and Revelation 22 points to the eternal order where the tree of life will be there, and all of us who are believers will enjoy both in heaven and in earth in the eternal order to be with the Lord Yeshua Jesus the Messiah. And so in verse 1 of John chapter 18 we learn how the Lord Jesus the Messiah entered into this garden of Gethsemane, and there from the other Gospels we have learned of his anticipation and his prayer to the Father. Father, if it is possible, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. This is what we learn concerning the person of Yeshua the Messiah. But then as we continue on in verse 2 to verse 9, we learn of a wickedness that is found in men, the treachery, the traitor, Judas, Yehuda Ishkayot, who the Lord Jesus the Messiah for 30 pieces of silver, who gave him that kiss of betrayal. Notice what we read in verse 2. Judas, the betrayer, knew the place where the garden is. We read in verse 2, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Yeshua oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Apparently, we learn from this that the Lord Yeshua the Messiah resorted there many times with his disciples. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 39 and 40, we read, and he came out and he went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him, and when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. So here we see that the disciples knew, as Judah knew, where this garden of Gethsemane is. Right on the Mount of Olives, on the lower part of the Mount of Olives. And here we see that Yehuda is coming there, knowing the place. And notice what we read here, how sad it is. In verse 3, Judas, he received a band of officers, and he bring them, he came with them, and what does he do? He come with weapons. We read in verse 3, having received a band of men, this is had been suggested some 600 men and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, he cometh thither with lanterns and with torches and weapons. Think about it. He's coming there now to take the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, to capture him, to identify him, and ultimately to cause him to be taken by the men that came from the Pharisees and from the religious leaders of the day. And notice that, beloved brothers and sisters, as Judas is approaching, coming with so many to try to capture Yeshua the Messiah, Yeshua was in full control. Instead of going backwards, he's going forward. Notice what we read. Knowing all things that should come upon him, he knew, Jesus knew what will come. He knew that he will be captured. He knew that he will ultimately come to die for the sin of this world. He went forth. He went forward. And he said unto them, whom seek ye? Now just to imagine, apparently the reason that they came with lanterns and torches, it must have been an evening time. And because he was a Jewish man among his Jewish people in the land of Israel, in the city of Jerusalem, they needed to identify him. And therefore he asked them, whom do you seek? Whom seek ye? So they answer him, Jesus of Nazareth, Yeshua min Nazareth. Yeshua saith unto them, I am he. And notice this expression here, I am, and then he. That expression is simply, whom seek ye? Jesus of Nazareth, and he saith unto them, I am. The word I am, which we have spoken about many times, and it is found in the Gospel of John many times, where the Lord Yeshua the Messiah said, before Abraham was, I am. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am divine. He is the eternal one who became a man, of whom we read in Exodus chapter 3. I am that I am, God said to Moshe, to say to his people Israel when he will come there to take them, to lead them out of bondage into liberty. God said to Moshe to tell the people of Israel, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am have sent me unto you. This is the Jehovah, the Jehovah, the God of Israel, here in the person of the Son who entered humanity as man. Yeshua said, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. In verse 6 of John 18, we read, As he had said unto them, I am, they went backwards and fell to the ground. What caused them to fall to the ground? What caused them to fall backward, not forward in worship, but backward in judgment? What was the cause? Well, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friend, here we learn of the very fact that the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach here, as the God, the man, he had caused them to fall backward by using this expression, I am, I am He. They fell backwards, and they were the ones that came to capture him, yet it was the Lord, by saying, I am, cause them to fall backwards onto the ground. In Psalm 27 and verse 2, we read very interesting word. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fell. They stumble and fell. Well, the psalmist of Israel, of course, speaking of himself and how God protected him and how God preserved him, David himself, but also because David is a picture of the Mashiach who was Ben David, and therefore when Yeshua said, I am, they fell backwards onto the ground. Falling backward, that show us that they were not believers. They did not want to worship him. They did not want to follow him. They did not want to accept him. They fell backwards. Those that fell forward in the history of the people of God are people who worshiped the Lord. They fell on their faces before the God of Israel. It was Abraham. In Genesis chapter 17 and verse 3, Abraham fell on his face, not backward, but on his face, and God talked with him, saying, this is precious. This is what happening when someone is a child of God and loving the Lord, falling on their faces before the Lord, before God, recognizing whom God is and how they truly need to worship the God of Israel. Joshua, in chapter 5, and verse 14, we read that he said, this is the angel of the Lord said, but I am a captain of the host of the Lord. I now came. So Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and he did worship. But beloved friend, these ones that came to the garden of Gatshmanim, they were not coming to worship Yeshua the Messiah. They came in order to capture him and take him ultimately to be crucified, to die on that cross. And so we read in John chapter 18 and verse 7, "Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Yeshua of Nazareth." And verse 8, once again, notice this, how the Lord Yeshua responded, "I am he." And you notice the care that he had for his own. "I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way." The reason that the Lord Jesus the Messiah came to this world is to give his life a ransom for many. In John chapter 10 and verse 11 we read, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. If you seek me, let these go their way." In John 10 and verse 15 we read, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Again, "If ye seek me, let these go their way." And once again, a reference to John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18. We read there, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." And so the reason, beloved friends, that Yeshua the Messiah came to this world is to give his life a ransom for many. And that's why he said, "If you seek me, let these go their way." Wonderful to know of the love of the Lord Jesus the Messiah towards his own people. And therefore we read in verse 9 that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake. You remember in John 17, in verse 12, the Lord said, "Of which thou gavest me, I lost none." We read it in his prayer in John 17, verse 12, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. But the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled," fulfilling the Psalms, fulfilling the promises of God to Israel in days of old. And indeed, the son of perdition, by the name of Judas, Yehuda Ishkrayot, Yehuda, the man from the suburbs, he comes. And here we see what Yehuda Ishkrayot is coming to do, because Yehuda Ishkrayot is come in order that he might identify the Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, and cause him to be taken by the men with whom he came. Sadly, as we read later on in the Gospel of Matthew, which we don't have here before us in these verses, we find out what happened here and how Judas identified for the men that he came who Yeshua was. In Matthew chapter 26, we read in verse 47, "And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with sword and staves, from the chief priests and the elders of the people, and he," this is Yehuda, Judah, "that betrayed him, gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever shall I kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast." And forth with he came to Jesus and said, "Shalom, hail, Master," and he kissed him. And Yeshua said unto him, "Friend, wherefore thou comest?" Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Amazing. How sad. Judah's kiss identify who Yeshua is. We read elsewhere, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? The kiss of betrayal. The kiss of one whom the Lord called him friend? Why art thou come? And the reason that he came, that Yehudah, Judas Ishkariot came, is in order to betray the Messiah, the Mashiach, to the hands of those that will capture him and take him to be crucified on a Roman cross. The kiss of betrayal, the kiss of treachery. That is a very sad thing that we learn here concerning Judas. And now we continue on in verse 10, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friend, and we see the sword of Simon Peter. And Simon Peter, Shimon Petros, while he loved the Lord, he misunderstood the necessity that the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus had to die. And we can understand the limitation that these men who loved the Lord had. And so we read in verse 10 of John chapter 18, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Now imagine, Simon Peter did not aim for the ear. He wanted simply to defend his master, to defend Yeshua. So he's drawing the sword and he's smiting the high priest servants by the name of Malchus, and he's cutting his right ear. Amazing to see what Peter have done. So Yeshua already told the disciples that he must go to the cross to die in order for him to pay for the sin of this world. Peter should have known that Yeshua was going to surrender willingly, as he said already earlier in Matthew 16, all the way to the end, chapter 17 and chapter 20, once and again, I must die. But Peter, out of love for the Lord, yet misunderstanding, he drew the sword and he cut the right ear of the servant by the name of Malchus. That was, in a sense, a rebellion and simply not submitting to what the Lord have already said concerning the fact that he will give himself and not seek to rebel and disobey. We read in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 35, Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. Likewise also said the disciples. And Peter really meant to stand for the Lord and to stand to follow him and will not deny him, but he didn't understand his own weakness, and he didn't understand the fact that the Messiah had to give himself willingly and not to fight or to resist arrest. And so Simon Peter, in rebellion, took the sword and cut the right ear of Malchus. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 35, we do read these words. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoe, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me, and he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the thing concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. They did not understand when he meant to take a sword. He didn't mean that they should fight. He wanted them to understand that the sword applied to the fact that they would fight for the Lord by presenting the message of the Word of God, by presenting the truth of the gospel, by recognizing that he will be reckoned among the transgressors, that ultimately he will come to die for the sin of this world. But here we see that misunderstandingly Peter took a sword and he cut Malchus' ear. And so as we are going back to the verses 11 to verse 14 of our chapter, John chapter 18, here we learn of the cup of God's righteous indignation, and the Lord is being submissive to that which he came to this world for. And so we read in verse 11, then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? Again, beloved brothers and sisters, the cup represent God's righteous indignation against sin that must fall upon sinners. And this cup, Yeshua himself was going to drink. That cup represent the judgment of God. And he said, shall I not drink it? Do you think, Peter, that I will not go through the process of death, burial, and resurrection in order to bear the sin of this world? Is there any possibility? You think I will be disobedient to my Father? And so we read, put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father has given me, shall not I drink it? Yeshua said in verse 11, the cup of God's righteous indignation against sin. So we read in the next verses, verses 12, 13, and 14, that the band of soldiers bounded Yeshua and took him away. In verse 12 we read, and the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. Amazing to think of his willingness to be taken and to be bound, and ultimately to be taken, to be standing before the high priest of Israel and the Roman commander Pilate, and there to stand before them and ultimately be crucified. Yeshua was led to Annas, Hanan in Hebrew first, the high priest, then to Caiaphas. And then we read that as he was led to these high priests of Israel, then we read that Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one should die for the people. In a sense, not knowing, Caiaphas was the one that gave this a prophetic word, we might say, not knowing that what he said was really given to him to say by the Lord that one will have to suffer for the rest of the people. In John chapter 11 and verse 49, we do read, and one of them by the name of Caiaphas, being high priest, that same year said unto them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this, listen to this, beloved friend, verse 51 of John chapter 11, and this spake he not of himself, but being a high priest that year, he prophesied that Yeshua should die for that nation. and amazing, and that not for the nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Imagine, Caiaphas, the high priest, who did not come to faith in Yeshua the Messiah, prophesied not of himself. God have allowed him to speak forth a prophecy concerning the death of the Messiah, that the Messiah will die for the sin of the nation, but not only for the sin of the nation, but to die for the sin of the whole world. And beloved friend, doesn't this remind us of what Isaiah have already proclaimed in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 8, some 750 years before Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, was born into this world? Isaiah, by the word of the Lord, wrote to the people of Israel concerning the promised Messiah. And he said in verse 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? And listen to this. For he was cut off out of the land of the living. And he continued, and he's saying, for the transgression of my people, Isaiah's people, Israel, was he stricken. Isaiah prophetically speaking by the word of the Lord. And here we see in John 11 and John chapter 18, the prophetic word of Caiaphas, not speaking of himself, but yet fulfilling the word of God. Caiaphas being the high priest that same year, and he said unto them, know ye nothing, you don't really know anything. You're not considering that it is experienced that one man, that man is Yeshua, should die for the people. These people are the people of Israel. And that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, being a high priest that year. He prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And he continued, the scripture continued, and not for that nation only, not only for Israel, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. And that include everyone that came to trust the Lord. And while Caiaphas meant evil in a sense, willing that Yeshua will die, not understanding in reality that he was indeed the promised Messiah, yet God used this to reveal that which he promised in Isaiah, through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 53 concerning the Messiah, that he, for the transgression of my people, was he stricken. Amazing to see how the word of God is linked, and in every generation, as the prophets of old and the apostles and disciples a little later on, given to us by divine inspiration, the word of God, we learn to see how all the prophetic word of God link together. It is fascinating to learn these truths, beloved brothers and sisters. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we learn these truths. And while Caiaphas really was a sad, blinded condition, here we read of him in John 18 that he was that one that earlier was the one that said that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And indeed, the reason that the Lord Jesus the Messiah came to this world is to die for the sin of the nation of Israel. But he also came to die for the sin of the world. And he came to die for each and every one of us, for our own sins, which we deserve to be punished for. He came to die that you and I will never need to be perishing. He came to die in order to give himself a ransom for many, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the reason, beloved friends, this is the reason, dear brothers and sisters, that Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, came down to this world to save sinners and to pay for the sin of this world. And so in the first 14 verses of John chapter 18, beloved brothers and sisters, we learn, number one, the entrance into the garden, the obedience of Yeshua the Messiah as he went to the Garden of Gethsemane in anticipation of being captured and ultimately taken to the Roman cross. Secondly, we have learned of the treachery of Judas, of Yehuda, how he betrayed the Lord, coming into the garden and betraying him with a kiss. And that is so sad, where he gave a kiss to identify Yeshua the Messiah that night and point him and lead others to capture him. Thirdly, we learn of Shimon Petros, and he, in love for the Lord, wanted to defend him, but still rebelling and misunderstanding the truth that Yeshua had to die. And therefore he takes the sword and he's cutting the ears of Malchus. And this cutting of the ears show his rebellion and the fact that he didn't submit to the word of the Lord. And that's why it is important to realize that while Peter meant well, he actually did not submit to the word of God. And thank God Yeshua return the ear back to Malchus, and it was healed immediately because of the fact that he is the healer, the one that came to bless. And fourthly, we learn from verses 11 to 14 the complete submission of Yeshua the Messiah, who said in John chapter 18, when he said, "Put up thy sword unto the sheath. For the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink?" And sure enough, my dear brothers and sisters, he came to drink the cup of God's righteous indignation against sin, in order that whosoever will believe on him will receive forgiveness of sins. And how wonderful it is for us to know today that our sins have been paid for. The Messiah Yeshua paid for our sin and sins. And because he did so, we who are believers today are blessed to know our eternal salvation. It was Peter who said in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Messiah, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last time for you." And while Peter took the sword seeking to defend his master, he very quickly learned as time passed by that Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, had to die. And therefore, Peter presented a gospel message to many and was used by the Lord to be the one that will serve him as the apostle to the circumcision, to the Jewish people, to share with them the message of the gospel of the grace of God. Well, my dear friend, may the Lord help us. May the Lord help us to see and to value the love of the Lord Jesus the Messiah as he entered into the Garden of Gethsemane in order to anticipate his being taken by the men who came to capture him, but ultimately the anticipation of the death on the cross for the sin of this world. Well, may God bless you, and Lord willing, we will continue in the 18th chapter from verse 15 in our next ministry meeting. God bless you, my dear friend. Until the next time, shalom, shalom.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write the Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.